We thank you, Jesus, for your blood. There is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And we plead the blood of Jesus over each and everyone here, those watching. We thank you for that liquid love reaching into every place where it's needed. Father, we receive the healing touch of Jesus today. We thank you from the top of our head to the soles of our feet right now where you need it. Just receive his touch. Receive and see yourself whole. See yourself whole in the name of Jesus. See yourself set free in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever that thing is that has been hindering or blocking, we command you to bow your knee to the name of Jesus. We speak the life of God into every body today. We thank you, Lord, you're doing a new thing in each and every one, and we praise you for it. If you believe it, if you agree, say amen. Hallelujah. Well, welcome this morning to Victory Life Family Church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you all look good today. Amen. God is good. If it's your first time, our website is VLFC, and there you can find out more about us, our past sermons, website, the video, the audio, the sermon notes are there. So you could go back, you could go over these messages when, you know, the Lord, he brings up healing a lot. Feed on that word because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so we want to take that message in. We want to hear it and receive it and see what he can do. You are made whole, Shannon, in the name of Jesus. We see you running around the block. We see you going, you know, as fast as you can, as fast as you want to go in the name of Jesus. See yourself that way. Praise God. Put a picture of yourself whole and healed and look at that every single day in the name of Jesus. Praise God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There is a healing anointing today. Praise the Lord. I want to remind you, we're on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, Instagram, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. Pastor Rodney's Daily Devotional is also on our website every day and on Facebook as well. And you can subscribe to the newsletter for that. Sundays, doors open at 9 and pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40. So we invite you to attend to pre-service prayer and service starts at 10. And this Wednesday, we will not be having service here, but we encourage you all beginning tonight to tune into the Southwest Believers Convention on the Victory Channel. It's on YouTube. We'll be posting things on our Facebook page, and it's awesome. It begins Sunday night all the way through Saturday morning. And so that's where Pastor Rodney and I are headed directly after service today. We're going to start heading that way, and we're expecting, you know, to hear from God for us, for you, for our church. Praise God, to receive impartations for all of us there, for all of us going. And so we thank you for your prayers as we head that way. We're excited. We're expecting to bring that fire back. Amen. Praise God. He is faithful, and he's going to take care of us back here. Well, we're there in the name of Jesus. And so also with that, there's no Friday prayer this week here as well, but we encourage you to continue to pray, continue to engage your faith, and continue to just tune into that Victory Channel every day. Praise God. And so also we've begun vision two, phase two of the vision for our church, phase two for the vision of our church. We were calling it Building Fund, but it is now the Vision Fund. And so if you've already written building down, that's fine. It'll still go to the Vision Fund. In phase two, we're believing for $10,000 to come in above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. And you, if you're watching online, there's a QR code so you can find out more about that. But we're believing, praise God, for a property and a building of our own with lots of room for growth. You know, we want the prayer rooms, the connect rooms, the children's facility, and the things that we have for the children because they need it. Amen. They're here. They're ready to minister. They're ready to believe God. Jesus said, come to me like a little child. Praise God. We can look at them and praise God. We can get, okay, this is our example right here. This is what we need to do. Childlike faith. Amen. Just believe God, right? Praise God. Alice knows. Praise God. Amen. And so believe for it. release your faith and see what God can do in the faith projects in your life, in your home, in your household. Pray as we believe together for one another, as we believe for this church and what God's doing, because we're moving forward in the things that He has for us. Amen. So as we're giving today, actually, I want to read Pastor Rodney's devotion from, it was 3 days ago. It was the Thursday one. It says, "You are blessed to be a blessing." And this really, I knew I was supposed to read this one today. You are blessed to be a blessing. This really paints the picture of us as a believer. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing." Praise God. God never blesses you to just fill your life. He blesses you to flow through your life. In Genesis 12, 2, God tells Abraham, "I will bless you so that you will be a blessing." This is a divine pattern of abundance. Blessing is not an endpoint. It is an assignment. Prosperity is not merely personal. It is purposeful. God increases you so that you can increase others. He enriches you so you can enrich the world around you. You are not a reservoir. You are a river. The blessing on your life is designed to move, multiply, and manifest through you. To say you are blessed to be a blessing means you stop seeing abundance as something that terminates you. The blessing is not meant to make you self-focused. It is meant to make you impactful. When God blesses you, He is thinking about the people connected to you. Let me say that again. When God blesses you, He is thinking about the people connected to you. He is thinking about the needs that you will meet, the lives you will touch, the ministries you will support, the families you will strengthen, and the kingdom assignments you will fund. Blessing is not about accumulation. It is about activation. It activates generosity, compassion, influence, and purpose. This truth breaks the lie that abundance is selfish or unspiritual. Many believers hesitate to embrace increase because they fear it will make them prideful or materialistic. But scripture reveals the opposite. The blessing positions you to serve. Amen. It frees you from survival so you can focus on significance. Isn't that right? Praise God. It lifts you out of scarcity so you can lift others. The enemy wants you to feel guilty about abundance so you will reject the very thing God wants to use to expand the lives you impact. But God wants you to see the blessing as a tool, a trust, a calling. Living this way produces clarity and joy. You stop hoarding and start flowing. You stop fearing increase and start stewarding it. You stop thinking small and start thinking generationally. When you believe you are blessed to be a blessing, you live with open hands and an open heart. You look for opportunities to give, serve, and uplift. Praise God. You recognize that every blessing carries purpose and every increase carries assignment. You live with the awareness that God's blessing on your life is meant to change more than your circumstances. It is meant to change the world around you. That is awesome. Today is about embracing the truth that the blessing is not just for you, it is for others through you. You are blessed to be a blessing. And we speak that over each and every one of you today. And let's say this confession: I am blessed to be a blessing. God's abundance flows to me and through me for kingdom purpose. And I'm going to pray this over us today. Father, thank you for blessing us. Show us how to use every blessing to serve, uplift, and impact others for your glory. And the closing charge today is live as a carrier of the blessing today. God increases you so you can increase others. Praise God. Does that not paint the picture of the purpose of being a blessing? Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Rodney, for that. And so as you're giving today by cash or credit card, please completely fill out the card and sign it if it's by credit card. Please make checks payable to VLFC. And those of you online, we invite you to sow, to be a part of our vision project, and the information's on your screen. And let's say our offering confessions this morning. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our building, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you so much for this time today. We thank you for this service. We thank you for the people. Lord, we receive your presence. Holy Spirit, we say you are welcome here in this place. Wherever you are, whenever you're watching, just invite Holy Spirit into that place. Right here, right now, there's no time or distance in the Spirit. He is here to do a work. And I'm declaring to you right now this morning that there is healing power present here in this room. There is healing power present to do the work that you need in your life today, whether it's your physical body, whether it's your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, anything that pertains to you, there is power present to do a work. So by faith, reach out and receive it. Reach out and receive it. And even as we're sitting here under the preaching and teaching of the word, the Lord is here working in your behalf. Just receive that by faith in the name of Jesus. And we give you thanks for this, Father. We thank you for this word. We receive the anointed preaching and teaching of the word, but we receive the eyes that see and ears that hear the voice of truth, the voice of the good shepherd speaking a word in season for each one of us. And yes, we receive and we declare signs, wonders, miracles, manifestations, demonstrations, and visitations of Holy Spirit. Lord, I am yours to command. However you want to lead this service today, I'm going to follow you. And we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be here this morning. We're going to continue in our series that we started here a few weeks ago called The Authority of the Believer. Hallelujah. Say the authority of the believer. Praise God. Are you a believer? Yes, you have authority in the name of Jesus as a child of God, and we're to reign in light. The scripture says in Romans 5:17 that we are to reign in this life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We do realize that Jesus was doing all right where he was. Everything that he did as a substitute and a sacrifice so that you and I could be right there with him according to the original plan. Adam messed it up. Amen. But Jesus, the second Adam, the Bible calls him, came to restore us back to that holy place as the sons and daughters of God at the Father's right hand. And we saw last week that we have been seated together in heavenly places in Christ. You know, in heaven, if you can imagine, there's just a big old seat and we're all sitting in that seat as jointly with Christ Jesus. He is the head, but he says that we are his body. And then he said that all this other stuff is far below under his feet. So everything that's been going on in your life, amen, if it doesn't line up with truth, if it doesn't line up with Christ the healer, amen, it does not belong to you, and you don't have to put up with it. You do not have to put up with it. He has already given you all power, all authority. He's given you the name above every name. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so today we're going to be looking at Holy Spirit, the role of Holy Spirit. So again, we're going to see Holy Spirit up within us at the new birth, and we're going to see the Holy Spirit upon us, which empowers the believer to live a holy life, but it also empowers the believer to walk in the authority that they have been given in Christ Jesus. Next Sunday, we're going to be looking at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So there's some good things to come here. But praise God, in today's message, you know, every believer has been given authority. At the moment of the new birth, you were seated together in heavenly places in Christ. You have been delegated, not just delegated, you co-share, but also co-chair authority in Christ. In Christ. I'm not beside Christ. I'm not beneath Christ. I'm in Christ. Galatians 3:27 says you were baptized into Christ. You cannot tell where you begin and Christ ends and vice versa. We're one. You know, so hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, authority was given at salvation, but power comes upon you, which we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is that second experience. It's what Jesus said here in Acts 1:8 here in our notes. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon, not in, upon. He already back in John 20:22, right after his resurrection, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. This is, and again, the scripture says he breathed on them. This harkens all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. God forms Adam from the dust of the ground, and he does what? He breathes on him and breathes his Zoe life. The life of God literally got imparted into Adam. That's exactly what happens again at John 20:22. Jesus resurrects. He says, now this life, I'm baptizing you into this life. Breathes on them, receive the Holy Spirit. At that moment, they're born again, just like Adam was in Genesis 2:7. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So again, Acts 1:8 tells us Holy Spirit comes upon us with power. What we're all going to see here today is, number one, this is the pattern of Jesus himself. It's also the pattern of the early church, and it's still the pattern today for every believer. God has not changed his method of operation. And if he did, he certainly didn't fail to tell the church about it. You know, a lot of times, you know, people will tell us that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in particular with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that has passed away. They also would tell us that healing has passed away, and they tell us that the gifts of the Spirit has passed away. Well, you know, if God didn't want us to receive that or to walk in that or to live healed, then he ought not to put it in the book. And if he changed his mind, then he owes it to us to tell us about it. He didn't. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that healing has passed away or that healing's not always has been his will. Hallelujah. There's no scripture that you'll find in the New Testament that'll tell you that tongues has ceased or passed away. Amen. Not this side of heaven. Now, there is a scripture that some have tried to take out of context over in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, referring to prophecies and things like this. And one day it will pass away. I understand that. When we get to heaven, these things will not be needed. You know, when I'm standing in front of Jesus face to face, amen, body to body, literally in a glorified body, I do not need to at that point speak in tongues. But Paul writes over in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, you know, that I pray in tongues more than all of you, not boastfully, but to exhort them. And he says that he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he's speaking out mysteries, but it doesn't remain a mystery. It's to become a revelation to you. Amen. We pray things out in the Spirit, praise God, to see them come manifested or to return back to us as an answer to that prayer. to gain insight and revelation knowledge. Jude, who was or is the half brother of Jesus, wrote in his one chapter in verse 20, says, "But you, beloved, you build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." He said, you're to build yourselves up. Now, I believe it was 2 years ago, we taught a series on Holy Spirit. We're just going to touch on this today. We're going to look at it through the lens of the authority of the believer, but I want to encourage you, go back and study that series. We went through it, I believe, in great detail, you know, building our case all the way through. And so I want to encourage you, go back and feed on that series even this week. It'll help you. It'll help you. But here today, hallelujah, I do want to look at our authority. So today in this message, we're going to see, number one, why authority without power feels powerless. Number two, how the Spirit within shapes our identity in Christ. Number three, how the Spirit upon us equips us for life and for ministry. Number four, how Jesus modeled Spirit-empowered authority. How Jesus modeled it. And also, we're going to take note of how he did not operate in this until he was baptized in the Spirit at the Jordan River. We're also going to see how the early church follows this same pattern, and we're also going to see how Holy Spirit energizes the believer's authority today. Can you say amen? So number one, authority without power feels powerless. So authority is, it is entrusted to you at the new birth. At the new birth, you're seated with Christ. You have all authority in Christ. Amen. So this is a legal delegation. So again, authority is given to you. It is literally your legal position in Christ. Jesus himself says here in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I have given you authority." He's given it to you. He says again in Mark 16 in the Great Commission, verse 17, he says, "In my name they will go." He says, you're going to go preach the gospel. When you come across the devil, you're going to cast him out in my name. When you come across the sick, you lay hands on them in my name, they shall recover. He's given you the authority to do this. Hallelujah. But you need power. You need power to back this. Imagine this, a police officer. Imagine a police officer, you know, he gets hired onto the job, gets sworn in. They pin a badge on his shirt. On this badge, it'll say something like, you know, City of Ogallala, or I came from Fort Worth, Texas, you know, City of Fort Worth, or wherever you're from. It represents that municipality or the sheriff. You know, he's the sheriff or the deputy in that county, who have state troopers and things like this, who have authority in the state of Nebraska, for example. So again, if you can imagine, this badge gives him, at the moment he's hired on, it gives him legal authority. With that badge, this officer has the right to pull over a vehicle or to detain someone. This badge alone, though, does not give him the power to enforce that authority. The badge alone does not give you the power to enforce that authority. So again, imagine that you, I don't know if there's any police officers here, but imagine that you were just hired on tomorrow morning. You went down and you got hired on as a police officer. They pin a badge on your shirt, but you have no training, no equipment, no vehicle, no radio. You can't call for backup without. So again, you have all the authority of this city or of whichever city you're from, but in this, you would feel powerless. You know, you could see something going on, but you don't have any authority to go chase this car down. You know, I don't have any authority. I have the authority to do it, but I'm not going to go knock on a door to serve a warrant, right? I haven't been trained. I have no backup. I have no weapon. I'm not going to go knock on somebody's door and say, "Hey, police, open up. I'm here to arrest so-and-so." No, I ain't doing that. No. So again, the badge gives you and I the legal right. being in Christ, being seated with Christ, gives us a legal right. Amen. But it is our equipment or the equipping of the Holy Spirit that gives us actual ability. So think of it this way. Authority gives you permission. Power is what gives you strength, enables you, equips you to actually carry out that assignment. So noting this, many believers, you know, we're all carrying this badge. And yet we know to some degree that we have some authority, but we're not walking in power that enforces that authority. So again, the Holy Spirit is the believer's equipment. He is that empowerment. He is the power behind the badge. You know, so Holy Spirit, he's got the gun on the hip. He's got his radio sent back up over here. You know, and so again, whatever power is needed, he's there to do that work. You know, the scripture tells in John chapter 16, you know, Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper. He also describes him as the standby. He is that standby power, the power behind the badge to enforce this thing. When you declare it, when you decree it, when you call for it, he shows up. Hallelujah. So again, this actually goes back to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, you know, there was darkness, there was void, and it says the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the deep. He is that power ready to bring God's word to pass. But he didn't do anything until God said. When God said, boom, Holy Spirit starts causing this word to come to pass. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. So now I want to look at the Spirit within, which is really our in Christ identity. The word says in Romans 8:11, it says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, say in me, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you, say in me. Amen. So he's in you. At the new birth. This is the first work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit within, salvation. This word in Greek is also spelled en. It's said the same way in. It means in, it means within, inside, or it means dwelling. Holy Spirit is dwelling. He has made his home on the inside of you. The word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19:20 says, do you not know that your body, it is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is from God, who now lives in you? He says, this is not your body. This is not your spirit. This is God's spirit. This is God's body. He bought it. He paid for it there on the cross. Hallelujah. He's in you. Thank you, Lord. He's in you permanently. He's not just visiting. He's not moving in and moving out. Well, I sinned. I missed it this morning. Well, Holy Spirit moved out. I repented. He moved back in. No, he's in you. He's in you to stay. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit within gives us our identity. The Spirit within is the source of our new nature. So at the new birth, he literally evicts the old man. He recreates your spirit in the image and likeness of God. He's literally forming Christ in you. So again, Galatians 3:27, at the new birth, you were baptized into Christ. All that Christ is, you became in a moment of time. You're not becoming, you are. Now, in this world, we're walking out what's called experiential, theological term, sanctification. What does that mean? In this life, at the new birth, I was made perfect. I was made whole and complete in Christ. Colossians 2:9-10. But yet in this life, I'm not yet living out the fullness of it. So again, I am experiential sanctification. I am progressively to renew my mind to the Word of God so that I can approve what is right, what is truth, so I can discern good from bad and live according to the fullness of who I am. That is a process. Amen. How many of you have arrived at Christ-like perfection? No, but we're all on our way, or at least we should be. Amen. We're not, again, come as you are, but don't stay that way. My goodness. Who wants to stay that way? There's a reason you got saved, right? Let's all look at our neighbor right now and just very sweetly tell them, honey, darling, you need to change. Go ahead. You need to change. Yes, you need to change. Pastor is telling you, I love you, and you need to change. I need to change. We all need to change. Glory to God. We all need to grow up and mature as a believer in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. So again, that's the Holy Spirit. He says in Galatians 5:22-23, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the nine fruit of the Spirit. These are not the nine gifts of the Spirit. These are the nine fruit of the Spirit. This is, again, Holy Spirit within you. He is forming Christ in you. And again, as I renew my mind to who I am in Christ, this is what is taking place. The peace of God, the love of God, the gentleness, the kindness, the joy, all of this should be developing this character in my life. Uh-huh. Again, this is for my edification. Now, you'll be blessed by it when I'm living more like Christ. We're going to see more in a minute about the nine gifts of the Spirit upon you. The fruit of the Spirit, nine fruit are within. There's going to be nine gifts for ministry that are upon you. Glory to God. The Spirit within establishes sonship. The Word says in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery that returns you to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption to sonship. You were adopted into the family of God and given firstborn status, joint heirs with Christ. He goes on to say, actually in the next scripture, joint heirs with Christ. All that Christ inherited, which was everything, I now am a joint partaker in it. Not someday, right now. Again, I'm reigning in this life today by one Jesus Christ. He says, but you have received the Spirit of adoption to sonship, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That literally means Daddy, Father. Abba, that you'll hear that in Israel today, that the children call their daddies Abba, 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 Abba. What, just like we would say Daddy, 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 they're saying Abba, but he also says Father. Again, he's showing you the both sides of this. Daddy, I just love you. Come and put your arm around one another. Just love on each other. But then there's also Daddy. Father, I am your provider. I am the supreme authority in your life at the same time. Hallelujah. Sonship. I'm here to correct you and I'm here to love you. So again, you are not a slave. You're not an outsider. You're not beneath Christ. You're not just beside Christ. You are in Christ fully as a son, as a child of God. Hallelujah. So again, the Holy Spirit carries resurrection life on the inside of us. He says in Romans 8:11, he will give life to your mortal bodies. Again, this is right back Genesis 2:7. The same Zoe, the very life and nature of God, breathed on Adam, and Adam was again recreated, or not recreated, he was born into the image and likeness of God. John 20:22, that's as Jesus received the Holy Spirit. Same thing. Holy Spirit within. So again, your authority begins with identity. If you see yourself as some second class citizen, if you see yourself as unworthy, unrighteous, you will not exercise authority because you have no confidence towards God. You don't understand who you are. You don't understand where you're seated. And because you don't understand that, you cannot possibly speak to a mountain and tell it to go and watch it go. And again, you have to have the foundation of identity before you can speak in authority and have any faith behind it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So again, you have to know who you are before you can walk in what you carry. I have an illustration for this, a lamp. So again, we can imagine a lamp on your lamp nightstand or something like this. You know, this lamp can be perfectly built. a bulb, a base, a shade looks beautiful, but unless electricity flows through it, it cannot shine. If I don't plug it into the power, if I don't flip the switch, this lamp can be the most beautiful lamp ever, but it will provide no light if and until. Amen. So again, the bulb, if you think about it this way, represents the spirit within. Electricity, you plug this thing into the power source, this represents the spirit upon. The spirit is there the whole time, but when you plug into that power, boom, now we're getting somewhere. Now we've got light. Now we have energy. Now there's power flowing. Thank you, Lord. It's there the whole time. Thank you. Just so again, identity comes first. Empowerment follows that. Glory to God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at Jesus' red words. So again, he's already breathed on them, said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then a few days later, he's there on the Mount of, he's saying this right now from the Mount of Olives. This is approximately 30 days after his resurrection. And so again, he's given them this speech. He's already given them a great commission. You're going to go in all the world. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to cast out the devil. You're going to lay hands on the sick. They're going to recover. He says, but wait, verse 8 says, but you will receive power. He's telling you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Upon, not in you, on you. He says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He warns them, do not leave. Do not leave. Again, about 10 days. So after he says this, he's called up into heaven. About 10 days later is the day of Pentecost, the fourth feast day of the Lord, which is 50 days. Pentecost is the full 50 days after his resurrection. So actually this was 40 days later. And then 10 days later is actually when Pentecost comes. Hallelujah. And Holy Spirit comes upon them. So again, this is the second work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit upon which he says is power. This word upon in Greek is the word epi. It means upon, over, resting over. It means covering. It means having arrived at the spot, a place upon which something rests. The Spirit comes upon the believer for empowerment. Hallelujah. He comes upon you for empowerment. Again, this is the pattern of Jesus. This word power in Greek is the word dunamis. It's where we get our word in English, dynamite. It means miraculous power, strength, God's inherent ability. It is the ability to perform. It is moral power and excellence of soul. It also translates authority. It means ability to perform for the believer. It means we have the power to enforce his victory in the earth. Again, spirit within gave you authority. Spirit upon gives you the power to enforce his victory in this earth. Say hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So now we're looking at the Spirit upon also activates the nine ministry gifts of the Spirit. You'll find these in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And they are the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, special or wonder-working faith. We also see gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, these operate specifically in public. He says that these are for the benefit of all. So again, you will find these used in the public assembly for the helping of all of the saints. Glory to God. Huh. So it's important that we come to church. What is it, you know, that if you have a tongue, but they're supposed to give them the interpretation, but they're not here, or vice versa? What if they're supposed to give a prophecy and that prophecy is supposed to be an edification to you, but you're not here to receive it? What good is it? Amen. Again, this is why he also goes on to tell us more than once, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day approaching. there is a corporate faith, there is a corporate anointing, and there is a corporate flow for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Spirit upon equips us for ministry. So again, He empowers your words. He enforces the authority that you carry as a child of God. Hallelujah. So think of it like this. A carpenter may own every tool in their workshop, but the tools do nothing until they pick them up. Authority is the same. It's like I own all these tools, but power is me picking up that hammer, swinging it, and putting it to work. You know? Hallelujah. So again, Jesus carries authority as the Son of God, but He did not perform any miracles until the Holy Spirit came upon Him at age 30 at the Jordan River. Glory to God. Let me get my notes. It's stuck together here. Okay. So again, you and I, we're not to do ministry without power. So again, Jesus warned them. He urged them. He charged them. You are not to leave. Don't go out here and start trying to preach and teach and prophesy and lay hands. Wait, not yet. Yes, I have authorized you, but now I need to empower you the same way that I was empowered. So again, do not try to do ministry without power. Jesus never intended for you to be a witness without strength. The ministry upon you makes your life effective. Now, again, we're going to look at how Jesus models this pattern for you and I. Number one, Jesus was born of the Spirit. Luke 1:35. We all know the story. Angel comes to Mary. Hey, Mary, you know. Hey, man, the word says in Luke 1:35, He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She said, yes, be it done unto me according to your word. Angel departs. Holy Spirit hovers over her, shadows over her. The seed of the word of God goes into Mary's womb. And at that moment, Jesus, Son of God, is conceived apart from Adam, all right? We also see here in how Jesus was anointed. In Luke 3:22, it says, the Spirit descended upon Jesus. Spirit sent. So again, at the Jordan River, you know, he's baptized in water. He comes up out of the water, and John says, I saw the Spirit come out of heaven and rest upon Jesus. Now, Jesus did not need to be born again. He was not born into sin. He never knew sin. He was born apart from sin, which made Him the perfect Passover lamb, the final Passover lamb, because he who knew no sin at the cross, He was made to be sin with our sin, so that we who knew no righteousness could be made righteous with His righteousness. He was born of the Word. So again, at the Jordan River, Holy Spirit now comes upon. He was already Holy Spirit within when He was born or even conceived, but now 30 years old is when Holy Spirit comes upon Him. You'll note there are no signs, no wonders, no miracles of any kind before that time. The Scripture says that the wedding feast at Cana, when He turns water into wine, the Scripture says that was the very first miracle. Before that, there was nothing happening at all. No, He was studying. He was studying. The word says that He was growing in grace. He was growing in grace. He was studying. He was finding out His identity. He was finding out, oh, this is who I am. Hallelujah. And now after 30 years, he's ready to step into that place. So again, He's baptized in the Jordan River. Holy Spirit comes upon, and then He goes out into the wilderness. 40 days and nights. He goes through the three temptations. It is written. It is written. It is written. Satan, get out of here. From there, He goes out into the synagogues. He's preaching and teaching. Hey, I am anointed. Today, this Scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And now He's performing signs and wonders and miracles. Holy Spirit is now upon Him and equipping Him to do this work. Amen. That's, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The early church. So again, we touched on this, the pattern for every believer. So again, John 20:22, Jesus breathes on His disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Again, that is the Spirit within. But in Acts 2 is when they are actually empowered with the Holy Spirit. Let's just turn over here. Acts chapter 2. 120, they're all gathered together in the upper room. But in that upper room, you had his disciples. You had the 11 disciples at that time, but you also had other followers of Christ. Specifically, you also had Mary, the mother of Jesus, in that room, along with other women, I'm sure, you know, who also had followed him, Mary Magdalene and others. So again, there's 120 people in this upper room. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had come, again, 50 days after the resurrection, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues as of fire being distributed and resting on. Resting on. Not in. On each of them, and they were all filled. Say all filled. All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Every last one of them, even Mary. Now, what do we know? Mary was not a fivefold minister. Now, we know there was other women there. They were not fivefold ministry. Why did they need to speak in tongues? Again, a lot of folks think that tongues have passed away. You won't find that in the book. You won't find it. Or they'll say, well, it's just for some, but not for all. Or it's just for those who are in ministry. And even then, it's just as the Spirit wills. Again, they're not discerning the 9 ministry gifts of the Spirit. There's also the personal gift of the Spirit speaking in another tongue, which is for every believer. They were not all fivefold ministry, yet they were all filled. Even Mary, sweet Mary, mother of Jesus, even her, she spoke in tongues because the Scripture says all of them. What was it for? It was not just for the 9 ministry gifts. No, this is for personal. This is personal first. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Again, this is why Jude, again, half-brother of Jesus, wrote that. It says, you, beloved, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Again, Paul, I'm praying in tongues more than all of you. Again, not to boast or to be prideful, never. No. It was to exhort them, you need to pray more. You're praying, but you need to pray more, and you need to pray on purpose in faith. Glory to God. Build yourselves up first and foremost. So again, the Holy Spirit came upon each one of them. This was the initial evidence, and every one of them was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they all spoke with tongues. Again, Holy Spirit came upon them. Exactly the way that he came upon Jesus at the Jordan River, and only then did Jesus go out and do signs, wonders, and miracles in ministry. He says, you're going to do it the exact same way. And that's exactly what happened. Because guess what? Peter comes down from the upper room, anointed. I mean, you talk about a man on fire. A few days before, he denies Jesus 3 times in one night. Can you say fear? He went from having the spirit of fear to the spirit of boldness all in a moment of time. He says, whoa, 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 whoa. He comes down. He preached. I actually got the opportunity last December to go, and I was in that upper room in Israel. And it holds probably, you could probably fit a couple hundred people in there, but beautiful place. But he comes down from there. And again, you have these little narrow streets and corridors. He says he comes down and he preaches such a fiery gospel. 3,000 people got saved that day. That's amazing. There's no modern equipment or technologies. He wasn't in an amphitheater. There wasn't a big crowd. Somehow or another, he preached the gospel, and the Scripture says 3,000 people got saved that day, and he kept adding to the church daily. The church was growing exponentially, and when we go through the book of Acts, my goodness, the things that they were doing. So again, Acts 2, Peter preaches with power. Acts 3, Peter commands with power. So again, Peter and John, they're going up to church at 3:00 in the afternoon, the hour of prayer in the afternoon. And as they're walking in the temple, there's a man lame from his mother's womb. He looks at them and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you in the name of Jesus. Come on, boy, rise and walk. And the man gets up, he starts leaping and shouting and praising God. Hallelujah. Acts 4, the church. The church. So again, after that miracle, you know, the Sanhedrin called Peter in and says, "Hey, what's going on?" So he tells him, so again, he talks about boldness. He says, "Hey, Christ, Jesus, the one you crucified," he calls them out big time. These guys had the authority to have Jesus led to the cross, and they had the authority to do the same to Peter. Peter knows that. Again, a few days before, he's the same one who denies Christ three times, and now he's standing in front of these boys, clothed in power, and I mean a holy boldness is now upon this man, and he dresses them down. He lets them know exactly how the cow ate the cabbage that day. And he says, "Jesus, whom you crucified, in his name is what has made this man whole." And they threatened him and said, "Don't you dare go out." And he says, "You can go preach. Don't preach his name. Don't do it no more." And he says, "Huh." So he goes back over to the church. And then the church comes together and the whole church prays over in Acts chapter 4. And when they're done praying, and again, they're not praying for "Oh God, help us out of this." No, they're praying for boldness. They're praying for more signs, more wonders, more miracles. They're praying for the outpouring of the Spirit. And when they're done praying, it says the whole church, the entire building was shaken, and they went out and they preached with great power, and great grace was upon the whole church. Great grace. Now, the grace of God is awesome, but the scripture says great power and great grace. Whoo! Great grace upon every single person, everybody. Glory to God. In Acts 5, you read on, miracles, signs, wonders. It's like popcorn. It's happening all over the place. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 8, Philip goes down to Samaria. He preaches the gospel. The whole city is in an absolute uproar. They're all getting saved. There's healings taking place. But again, we go through this in detail in the series, Holy Spirit. Again, 2 years ago, you can go back on YouTube, go to playlist, you can find it. Go to our website, sermon series, you'll find Holy Spirit. Go back and watch it. Watch it again. Philip goes down into Samaria. He preaches the gospel. People are saved. People are getting healed, but then they have not yet received the Holy Ghost. So they hear about it back in Jerusalem, and so they send a couple more disciples to him, apostles over there, and then they preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? They get baptized in the Holy Ghost. All of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, he's the first Gentile convert. Peter shows up at his house. An angel told him to go there. Peter shows up. He preaches the gospel. While he's preaching, Cornelius and his whole household, they get saved and they all get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Bang, bang. Every one of them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Acts chapter 19, Ephesus. Paul's there in Ephesus. He's preaching every day in the school of Tyrannus for 2 years. Ephesus receives power. The scripture says in Acts 19 that many powerful, not just miracles, they say many powerful miracles through Paul's hands were healed, delivered, set free, and many were saved. It also says that people were taking strips of cloth, you know, that Paul had either laid hands on or strips of his own garment. They're taking these prayer cloths. So they didn't call them prayer cloths, but they're just taking these cloths and they're going and laying them on the sick folks. And when that anointing comes in contact with them, that power is released in them and they're getting healed. Down the street, next town over, glory to God. This didn't just affect Ephesus. This affected all of the surrounding regions. Glory to God. Again, many powerful miracles. Why don't we see more of this today? Faith. You got to have faith for it. If you believe that tongues has passed away, you'll never see this. If you believe that healing is passed away, or that healing is just as God wills, and when he was at his sovereignty, he'll do it. If that's what you believe, you won't receive it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If I don't know that this power is available to me, even if I know something about praying in tongues, if I do not know and understand the power that is really there, you will only walk in the measure that you're able to understand. Hallelujah. They had great faith. They had seen it firsthand in the ministry of Jesus. And now when Jesus is telling them, hey, this same anointing, this same power is going to come upon you. And then he shows up in Acts 2:4 and he pours out, and they're, whoa, going preaching, and people are just getting saved and healed and delivered. It went on to say that people were go and take the sick folks and line up in the street, so that when Peter passes by, just that the presence of Peter, or it says the shadow, but really the presence of Peter as he walks by, they had faith for it. They were getting healed just because Peter was walking by under that same anointing. Their faith was making a demand on that anointing, and they were receiving it as Peter walked by. Faith always had to be the connector. And same thing in the ministry of Jesus. Woman with the issue of blood, she had to run up. She had been saying, oh, if I could just touch, if I could just touch, if I could just touch. She ran up and she touched, and she got her healing. The scripture says that there were people thronging all around Jesus. Everybody's touching Jesus. No one was getting healed except the one who touched her in faith. Amen. It was the same here. It operates the same way. Glory to God. It always takes faith. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How are we doing? We're doing good. Thank you, Jesus. Authority. Today, yes, we have to return to this. Authority is energized by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers the believer's words. The Holy Spirit gives weight to our commands. Again, when you will say it in faith, when you will say it in faith, again, this goes back to Genesis 1. The Holy Spirit was there before God ever said a word. Holy Spirit was hovering. He was hovering. He was moving, but nothing's happening. He's moving. Nothing's happening. God says, light be. Holy Spirit went to work. Light was. God said, and God says, and God says, when he said it, that's when Holy Spirit went to work to form it. God has perfect faith in what he says. How does faith really work? God sees, by the help of Holy Spirit, he sees through all of eternity. He sees all of this, and he sees, this is what I want to create. This is what I want to have happen. Then he chooses words to wrap around these images, timing and structures and all of these things, and then he says it. When he says it, Holy Spirit takes that image, uses that word, and causes that to come to pass. It works the same for you and I today. It worked in the garden that way. Genesis 2:19, God would form an animal from the dust of the ground. He brought it over to Adam. Whatever Adam called it, that's what it became. His words. So again, Adam didn't dream this up in his head. He was getting it by revelation knowledge by Holy Spirit. He discerned it. He didn't have to go to school to learn it. He discerned it by the Spirit. Again, not information, revelation. He saw giraffe. When he spoke giraffe, it gave this lump of clay an identity. It told it long neck, long legs, you know, you're going to eat, you know, brush and all of that word gave it all of that identity. He didn't have to just name out every little finite detail of every, you know, your hoof and your spot. No, he just said the word giraffe. The image of God was placed on the inside of him. He speaks this word and Holy Spirit just creates this thing. Fish, birds, all of it happened the exact same way. Now he says in Isaiah 57:19, I create the fruit of your lips. I create the fruit of your lips. How you call a thing is how it will be. when you will now take the word that I have given you and you will speak it into a situation, I am there, Holy Spirit is there to create this thing, to do this work. In the name of Jesus, be restored from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. We declare resurrection life, resurrection power is renewing you, restoring you. You are whole, you are perfect, you are complete, you are lacking nothing. In the name of Jesus, declare it. He's there to do the work. He said, you go lay hands on the sick, they will recover. He says, now in my name you go preach. In my name you go cast out the devil. When you will do it in faith, under the authority and in the power of the Holy Spirit, it'll work. That's exactly how it worked for Adam. That's exactly how it worked for Jesus, the second Adam. That's exactly how it worked for Peter, James, and John, and all the rest of them. That's exactly how it works for you and I today. God has not changed his method of operation. It worked the same way in Genesis 1 when he spoke it. It worked the same way in Genesis 2 when Adam spoke it. It worked the same way when Jesus spoke it. It worked the same when every believer spoke it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, the Holy Spirit upon. So again, in conclusion here, the authority is your legal right, but power is your spiritual strength. Authority is entrusted, but power is supplied. Your authority is positional. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places, but the power is to be experiential. It's supposed to be lived out. Glory to God. So your authority is the badge. Holy Spirit is the power or the force behind the badge. The Holy Spirit within gives you identity. The Spirit upon is what gives you empowerment. The Spirit within makes you a child of God. He's forming Christ in you. He is developing the fruit of the Spirit to rise up in you. But the Spirit upon makes you an effective witness to God. Glory to God. The Spirit within shapes your nature. The Spirit upon strengthens your ministry. I'm here to rule and reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. His anointing is my anointing. His anointing never left the earth. His anointing is still here in and on his body. The same anointing you'll find in Luke chapter 4 is still present today. It is not left. Thank you, Jesus. Again, you are not powerless. You are not weak. You are not empty. You are not alone. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you today, right now. And the Spirit who came upon Jesus for power, the same Spirit who came upon Acts 2:4, the 120 for power, all those who followed Paul and all the rest of them, on you and I today, he's still here to do that work in power. Praise God. So again, the Holy Spirit upon is here to strengthen the believer. Let's all stand. Praise God. And I want to share this with you here as we close. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. This is Jesus. He says, if you then, he's talking to the folks that day, he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He says, he'll give it, which means what? It's a gift. All you got to do is reach out and receive and say, thank you, I received that gift. Thank you. He says, he'll give it to those who'll just ask. Just ask. That's all you got to do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul, again, we said this over in 1 Corinthians 14:5. He says, I wish or I desire that you all spoke with tongues, every one of you, and not just a little bit. Again, he says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, for he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, although in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 4 says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up. Amen. Glory to God. Again, Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. Stir up the gift, because you're going to come across a situation where there's going to be a lame man at your beautiful gate. Amen. You're going to come across something where the church, you know, is being vehemently opposed by the Sanhedrin. They would kill you if they thought they could get away with it again right now. And they actually did, you know, a little bit after that. So they stoned Stephen and so on. But you need power. You need power. You were never meant to live this life with authority, but no power. Hallelujah. Jesus warned them. He strictly admonished them. You do not go. Yes, you're supposed to go, but you do not go until Holy Spirit has come upon you and equipped you with power. You need power. You are supposed to be a witness to your family, to your community. You're supposed to be living in power in your own life and in your own home as an ensign, as an example to others, each one of us. And we cannot do this. We cannot do this apart from Holy Spirit upon us. Jesus could not do it. Do you realize that? Jesus could not do it. And he did none of it until 30 years old. Baptized, Holy Spirit upon, now he's anointed, now he's empowered, now he can go. Same thing with the disciples, same thing with you and I today. Glory to God. So I want to do this. I want to pray, and I want you to pray, those of you online in particular, pray as well, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you, so this is not a one-time experience. This is a continual experience. Again, Paul says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. Not boastfully, not pridefully, but to exhort you. No, y'all, come on. Again, Jude, come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. You need this. You need to be edified, because you're going to face something in your day, and you don't need to face that void of power. This is something, obviously, you can let slip, you can let slide. Amen. No, we need to be constantly building ourselves up. So when we pray in other tongues, we can by faith direct our tongues. You know, I can pray to just simply, as he said, build myself up. So there is a flow for that. So again, when I'm feeling depleted, when I need strength, yes, I can read the word. I can be ministered to by the word, but now I can just spend some time. Habrash de kumbra ishte. I'm not praying out. I'm not praying for. I'm just building myself up. And I'm directing my tongues to build myself up. Now, there are other times. You can see in Romans chapter 8. He says the Spirit will come along. I don't know how to pray over this situation as I ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit is there to literally like lock arms with me and pray this thing out. So I can take a situation praying over this church, praying over the plan, the vision. You know, sometimes different ones of you will just come to me. I don't necessarily, you know, God doesn't say, hey, they got this, they got that. He's not calling out your mail, right? But he'll let you know, you need to be praying over this. How do I pray? I can pray out that way. That's scriptural. Hallelujah. But again, you have to have this. This is required equipment for every believer. Praise God. So let's all invite Holy Spirit to come in. Now, I want to say this. We're going to ask him, and I promise you, God is here to do his part every time without fail. He is not going to take over your mouth. He's not going to willfully just drive, you know, to do this. You will have it not in your head. This will come out of your belly, out of your spirit. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers, plural, of living water. So again, that rivers, I can pray to edify, I can pray towards, I can pray out. Rivers, plural. Living water. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But again, you are the one that's going to have to put a voice to it. This will not make sense to your head. It's not supposed to. That's good. I need to come out of my spirit man. There will be a word, there'll be a sound, there'll be a syllable. And as you grow, you can develop more and more in your prayer language. But you have to give voice to it. You have to, by faith, and it'll start coming. It'll start coming. It'll start developing. But let's all do this. Number one, I want to invite folks to get saved, because you cannot get filled with the Holy Spirit until Holy Spirit is first called, come within you. So the word says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He back up in Romans 10:9-10, he says, if you'll believe it in your heart, confess Jesus out of your mouth, you will be born again. So let's all pray this together. Heavenly Father,
I believe
that Jesus is the Christ. He is your son. Father, I believe that you sent Jesus to the cross to pay the price for my sin. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead.
And I now confess Jesus
as my Savior, as my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart.
Take my life.
Do something wonderful with it. All for your glory. Amen. Now, Cornelius, we saw this in Acts chapter 10. They all received salvation and the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the exact same time. You and I, we're going to do the same thing today. And we're just going to invite him to come in. So let's all pray this. Lord Jesus, I believe that the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is for me today, even as it was on the day of Pentecost. Right now, I, by faith, receive my heavenly prayer language. No more English, no more known tongue, but not in your head, but in your spirit. Ham, mrastnoste, and the kalalasoode. Whatever it is, don't think about it, say it. Release it. Ebrosto karese, and the nakedishtnoste dika. Brandarare, brostnosto, ora kale deradiasti nananoso. Ora basta lazo ora bracarede da la lara ha 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 branza coste lasse era brasto no cora braste de iste nese. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit is here to do the work. Holy Spirit is here to empower you to abraste to rule and to reign in life by one Jesus Christ. No more getting rained on. We're here to reign. We're here to live victoriously every day, day in, day out. And I want to encourage you. Encourage again, Jude 1:20. You beloved, you build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, I want to encourage you. Go to our website, vlfc.church. Go to sermon series, click on Holy Spirit. You can go back and get all of these teachings. We go in great detail teaching and explaining all of this. Again, on YouTube, you can go to playlist, our Victory Life Family Church. Go to our playlist, click on Holy Spirit. You can access all of these, and I would encourage you to go back and watch those. Praise God. Now there is no, we're going to be leaving here right after church, headed to Fort Worth, Texas. So for the Southwest Believers Convention, I would encourage you, those of you watching, tune in to Victory Channel. They're going to broadcast it starting tonight, and it is all day, every day, word, faith, glory to God, and we need to hear it. You need to hear it. And so we'll be back here next Sunday morning. Praise God. But in the meantime, know this, God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.